Okay.
There, now we can.
All right. I know you love this, so do the best you can. I have a test for you. Four simple questions. The first question, it's not, there's no wrong answer. I just want to see what you're learning. Okay? All right. And question two, three, and four are kind of specific things we've gone over, and I want to make sure you get at least these concepts down. Okay? Stick the next 5-10 minutes, whatever. This is a time test. If you do not pass this test, you will be required to take this class next semester.
Okay, see you then.
That's right.
Like you say, be the expert.
So do your best.
Angels do no more.
That's right. If you're new to this class, just make up whatever, because truth is relative, right?
Yeah.
By the way, is it a guten Tag? Is that hello?
Good morning.
What's talking?
Guten Tag, good day.
Good day. Yes, it's Frank.
Did you hand him in to you?
No, I'm not gonna do that, just, want you to do your.
I want the grade.
He's going to take his time on his day tomorrow and grade each piece.
Yes, exactly, and so on. And then, I'll announce the scores, a section of losers, failures, and winners. Okay, and, then we'll, publicly crucify them, right? Cancel them, that's what our culture does.
Can't cancel me, I'm old.
That's right. Few more minutes. Okay, well, what have you learned about Jesus so far in study? To me, this is the most important question. No right or wrong answer. Remember, there are no stupid questions, just
stupid people.
There we go.
Cover your ears, Father.
I know.
Yes. She's laughing, so I'm coming up today. We can go. All right. What have you learned about Jesus?
Jesus is the light, the power of light.
He's the light and the power of light.
He's the light and the power of light.
Okay.
He's outside of space and time.
Okay.
And became part of his creation.
What?
Became part of his creation.
Became part of his creation. Okay.
Okay. Being the Word, he was from the beginning God, and he is the light that comes to all men.
Okay. Yeah, ask a question, and typically, when you ask a question, there's a communication, and you respond, and that's how conversation works, so. What'd you guys learn?
He's the exact representation of God. He displays his glory.
He's the word through which all things were created.
I think before we started learning on this, the verse was, you know, his light, the light. I always thought it was just light, but he is light. I mean, before he was human, it's light.
Right.
So, energy.
He is grace and truth, where Moses was law, but he is grace and truth.
He's three types of life.
Three types of life, okay. He gives those, yeah.
He's spiritual and eternal.
I can know him.
You can know him, good.
We talked about he was pre-existent, co-existent, self-existent. So yeah. There's that.
It's all that.
All of that.
What God has told me about this before the world even began, that Jesus and the Lord have all become part of the decision for the planet of this world, that the world will return to darkness and Jesus is the light and energy.
In the world. Uh-huh. Very good.
He is God revealed.
He's God revealed. How did God? What have you learned about Jesus? Maybe I should have worded the question this way. They prompted him maybe a deeper love for him, or a deeper or greater appreciation for him that you hadn't known before. And also then, did it manifest itself in your time with him when you could praise him or worship him?
Well, I learned that we can see light, like the sun coming in the house. In here now, but God's light is beyond our comprehension.
Yes, comprehension, yeah.
So his power reigns.
It does.
Jesus reveals truth to us, and we talked about enlightening our soul. It's like, oh, that was one of those light bulb moments. Oh. The light went on. That's how I see it, because he has enlightened my soul.
He enlightens every man. He's the light that came in the world, and he enlightens every man. Yeah.
And the spiritual light reveals our sinfulness and need for a savior.
So what's the connection now? And this is a right and wrong answer. Between life and light. And I can't tell you how many times I went over this as a good teacher, and it doesn't mean you're going to grasp it, because I've thrown out a lot of information, and we've only got through the first, 13, 14 verses. Okay, yeah. What else?
Without life, there is no life.
Explain that, because that's, he's on the right track. Do you guys understand that?
Without life, there is no life.
Right. Without light, there's no light. Why would she say that?
Life manifests itself in light. Life manifests itself in light.
Okay.
We have no light or light without
Jesus. Manifests the light.
Life was the light of them. So it's the same Greek word kind of in your notes.
You don't separate the two. So how does it work? Think about you coming to a Christian. What happens? You're in what?
Jesus.
Light or darkness?
Darkness. He shines his light.
His light
gives us spiritual understanding.
Shines upon you. And what does it do?
It enlightens
you, but it does what though? What does it mean? Think about it.
Perceive the light.
You start to see the light, but what happens?
Reveals the truth to us.
Reveals the truth. But what happens inside you?
You're revealed the glory of God.
Well, you're spiritually dead, you become alive, and you become aware of what?
The darkness
in you, your sin, and you
because you see God's light, you know you're dark.
Right, and so the light shines on you, and you begin to be convicted of your sin. It's what we call, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. What's that called? When he brings you into belief
salvation.
In Jesus Christ, regeneration.
Yeah.
Okay. when you believe and you have salvation. So he begins his work in you, and it begins with the light shining on you. You're in darkness, and they've seen a great light. Remember that?
Yes.
And so that's, he begins to call you to himself. And as you are realizing these things about yourself, you discover within you what? Well, now I have a hunger for God. I want to know him. Whereas I didn't want to know him before, now I do. Okay? In the, through you working with the Holy Spirit in you, God pushes you to where you will eventually believe. And when you believe, what does he impart in you?
His righteousness.
Yeah. What else does he give you?
His life.
Yes. There is no life. Light comes first. Get that? So that's a catch between light and life. And what life does he give you? It's not the three lives, it's not the two lives that Diane mentioned. There's physical life, which is what? There's another spiritual life that everybody has, which is what? So what life does he then give you when you believe?
Eternal
life. And that is his life. Okay? Now there's another connection between love, the eternal life in you, and light. And that is, you can demonstrate that light. How?
By being a light to others.
By being a light to others, but what you do. It's a changed life. Right? Mm-hmm. I used to listen to this music. I don't anymore. It's uncomfortable. Well, why?
Yes.
I've been born again.
You watch certain kind of movies.
Yeah, it's that type of thing. Okay.
Disturbs our spirit.
Your conscience is made alive.
Now, when he says that he is the light of the world, do you understand that now?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He, in him is life. It means it's eternal life. It's all from him. Now, explain how light and glory are related.
The nature of God is his glory, and it's displayed by the Shekinah.
Well, his glory is visibly seen as light.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like manifested, his glory is manifested in a blazing light that we can't even look upon.
Right. That's how he exists.
Light and glory are internal aspects, characteristics of Christ.
So again, if you were to see Jesus today, what would he look like?
So bright you could barely recognize.
Think biblically. Give me an example, because they're there.
Blazing as the sun.
He looked like the reflection Moses saw when he saw.
But it'll be even more than that.
Way more than that, but it would consume
the sun.
She said it.
Oh. Transfiguration.
Yeah. Okay. What did it look like?
In the transfiguration.
Face glowing like the sun, and there was light surrounded.
Yeah, all
okay.
White and glowing.
And who was able to see him and live in that state?
Elijah and
Moses.
Well, why?
Because they were in their glorified
bodies. They're in their glorified bodies. And so when we see him again, he will look like that. Okay, and that light will shine when he comes again, and that light will be, him will be in that the New Jerusalem that will enlighten everything. There's no more sun, stars, all that, and so on. Or that works out and plays out. So that's him. But that's, he exists in unapproachable light. That's the light. How's it tied to his glory?
Glory is the sum of all his attributes, which is all who he is, and if all who he is life, then that's everything.
And so how can we share in that glory and shine his light?
Well, we display his glory by our actions and thoughts and words.
We let our light
shine.
And whose light is it?
His.
It's the light of Jesus Christ in us, living through us. And we do it through our good deeds before men, and they see these deeds, and what do?
Give glory to God in heaven.
Where it should go. So we get to partake in glorifying God through having his light shine through us through what we do. Okay? Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Okay? So damaging it is then when, for example, a very public pastor has a fall from sin, or when churches split, or when someone visits a church and they see this discontent and they don't see God being glorified. So, the light and the glory, they're all related. Okay? How did Jesus demonstrate his light and demonstrate his glory while he was on earth?
Miracles.
Miracles. What was the first miracle he did?
Water wine.
And it says that he did what? He manifest his glory. Okay. Now, those are concepts we go over and over and over again. The second most important question, which I hope you guys got, what is the theme verse of John? Anybody?
20:31.
Who knew that? I kept going over that over and over and over. Did anyone to memorize it's that verse? John 20:31. Everything was written so that you may believe.
Jesus is the Christ.
Yeah.
Well, I put John 3:16 and 17, so I guess I got that wrong. But
okay. And the theme verse is John 20:31. Everything is the end of the last chapter, I believe, and he just kind of sums it all up. I've written these things so that you may believe. So this is a defense. This would be a court case. Okay. He explained who he is, explained God in very detailed terms, and then he goes and he brings in his first witness and begins to explain who he is through John the Baptist to the things that Jesus did. So we end up with a little question that you have to answer as well. Because last week we talked about what? Mimi should know, at least because she looked like she was flabbergasted by what she learned last week.
That he wants all people
grace.
To be saved.
Dispenses grace.
This is grace. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. There are three evidences that Jesus is God that he presents in the first chapter so far. And one is that he displays glory. We beheld his glory. We've already talked about glory, what that is. Another reason why we think he exists as light, and that's how we'll see him, is what did Paul see in his conversion?
He was blinded.
By a great light. And the voice, Saul, why are you persecuting yourself? Jesus, that's who he is. Okay. He displays glory. He dispenses
grace.
And how much grace is there, everybody?
Grace.
Unlimited. Sin abounds, but grace super abounds. You're living in grace. Okay? So give me some examples of grace in this room right now. What'd you say? You're married to her. Yeah.
That's not wrong, because I was going to say
that's not
you
wrong.
Being married to her, that's grace.
Oh, my.
I'll
be here.
The sunshine.
The sunshine. How's that grace?
That's warms his light.
It warms the sun.
It's like the whole world.
It's on. What would we call that grace?
Mutual. Or not universal grace.
Common grace.
Common grace.
It's for everybody.
Yeah, common grace for everybody.
The sun coming up, it's for everybody. Believers, unbelievers. Stars, moon at night, blood at night. Seasons, rain that's coming.
Yes.
All of that is grace. What else is an example of grace?
Our breath, our life.
Breath, your life. What else?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
And the adoption as a child.
Yeah.
What else? Is an example of his grace. Everyone take your right arm, hold it up. Take your right arm, hold it up. Now go down and touch your clothing. That's an example of grace. He provided that for you.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
You get to remember, there are those that don't even really have one set of clothes, if that. Okay? What are you going to eat in about 2 hours?
Good German
food. Yeah, good German food, right? So we have, that's an example of his grace. He's providing for us. So there is grace everywhere. you have learned from the teaching gift he's given me, which is just a grace gift he's given me. I don't own it. I'm just using it. When I die, it goes back to him. Okay? So those are examples of grace.
Love.
Okay.
Love.
So, any questions? I really want you to take what you're learning and pray through it and worship God. At least let's do this first part, because you should have learned a lot. If I learned a lot about God, I'm assuming you did too, because what I learned, I passed on to you. Okay? The other thing I want to ask you is, this is not, it's a very specific question, but I want to see if you picked up on it. How am I teaching you?
How are you teaching?
Exposition. Okay, more than that, how am I, specifically, how am I teaching you?
By asking us questions.
Okay.
Repeating the same thing over and over.
I do that. All those things are techniques. What else?
Active participation.
Active participation. What else?
Repetition.
Now, if I give you one example outside of the Bible, which example was it? Light. I use science. Remember to explain what light is.
Oh, yeah. Quantum physics can't explain.
Now, every other example I've given you to explain the glory, to explain grace.
The text.
Comes from where?
Text.
The Bible. So if you want to understand grace, for example, last week when light bulbs went off, you want to know what it means to enlighten every man, you don't go to another book. You need to know this book and understand it. It's explained, grace is explained in here. Okay? Because some people think that grace is what? Most people think that grace is what, for example? It's a prayer you say before dinner. Okay? The next thing they think about grace is what? Amazing grace, how sweet. They have no idea what grace is. So when you explain to them, you say it's unmerited favor, the simplest definition, right? It's a gift you don't deserve. You might need to explain it to them, not in biblical terms, but you could do that. But what is grace? It's much more than that, isn't it?
God's love.
What?
God's love.
Yeah, you live in grace. The fact that he doesn't wipe us out like that is grace. The fact that you're here is an act of grace, because he chose you in an act of grace to be saved. All of that is grace. So when you understand that grace, then that means that, what does that mean when I say, okay, Jesus is full of
grace
and truth. So, and it comes from him. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. So you're given grace now to do what? What does that verse tell me about grace?
To
suffer. To persevere through suffering. That energy you find to grind it out, guess what that is?
Grace.
It is grace. So if you just stop right there with the worldly definitions or the simple definitions, and you don't go to the text and look at it, really study what it means. And I'm giving you a fraction of it. But it's just interesting because you can't see, but I can. The eyes that are being opened. My eyes are open. I really studied about light and who he is and all of that. And that then illuminated my understanding of what it means to be light. Okay? I didn't understand light and life. I had to kind of research that and so on. That's how you study the Bible. Now, you don't find that a whole lot in sermons today, which is what I'm trying to do. But that's, I'm trying to explain to you who he is, right? Explain the Bible. Well, that's what Jesus does, and that's the third thing. He does what? He displays glory. These are things that you should be writing down. He displays glory.
Dispenses grace.
Dispenses grace, and he defines God. Okay? We'll get to that in a second. Now, I want you to know this as we'll continue on. At the end of verse 17, it says, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Now, you understand what grace and truth are now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does everyone understand that?
Yes.
How can you understand, you cannot understand grace without truth. This is why people, by the way, you never look at me, if you, people that don't live in reality, this is another word to say they don't understand the truth, they have no concept of grace and they are not grateful people. They're victims, the world owes them everything, okay? When you understand the truth, and then you understand grace, then they begin to make sense, okay? Now, I want you to understand something else about grace. Grace is talked about an awful lot in the New Testament, right? We find grace and it's realized in Jesus Christ. But it was promised in the Old Testament. Did you know that? Can you give me examples of grace in the Old Testament?
Oh,
well,
he didn't kill David.
I mean, specific verses.
Oh,
this is part of you learning to study the Bible and understanding grace, for example, from an Old Testament
perspective. It's in Psalms, here I am, send me, when he was done.
That's a commission,
okay,
more than anything. But anybody want to take a guess? Very beginning, Noah, he found favor, which is, what's favor?
Grace.
Grace in the eyes of the Lord. Okay?
I think some versions do say grace.
Yeah. When was that? That was...
Before the flood?
Yeah, before the flood.
I mean, I think grace is implied. It doesn't have to use the word grace. God's grace is everywhere.
Yeah, but
every single thing he does is grace, grace, grace. Even if he destroyed the evil. So if you understand his character, you see it displayed in everything.
Even displayed grace to Hagar and Ishmael. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she
gets kicked out. I'm just looking for specific words that you will know that word is actually used there. Who else found favor from God?
Moses. Mary.
Oh,
Moses. Daniel.
Old Testament. Anybody? There we go. Thank you. Joseph found favor or grace from God. Genesis 39:21. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. You said it before. I think someone did. Israel found favor or grace from God. Exodus 11:3. This is the nation of Israel. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And yeah, is Mimi right? And yeah, we're right. When you begin to understand what grace is, you'll see it everywhere. It was grace in the garden. What am I talking about there?
Why he didn't just zap them after they
let them go? But
what was the grace? There's that. What was the grace? He shall bruise your heel. He shall crush your skull. Remember that? What was that? That was the promise of a
Savior. Was it also a grace to keep them out of the garden so they couldn't eat from the tree of life and be?
Well, they wouldn't be able to exist because who he was, like, okay, glory would probably incinerate him. That's my guess. You said Moses found favor and grace from God. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you've also found favor in my sight. That's Moses speaking to God about what God said about him. I want you to just know this. Everybody who has ever been saved in the history of the world has been saved by God's grace. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Okay? But there's... Go ahead.
Zechariah 12:10, I will pour in the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they will look upon me whom they pierced. Yes, so he's talking about there's that grace that goes to the whole house.
So you have grace all throughout the Old Testament. What's the difference between grace in the New Testament versus the Old Testament?
Nothing. Grace and truth.
There's a big difference. What does it just say? The text just said. We just read it.
Grace and truth were realized through Jesus.
There it is. Yes, they were fully realized in Jesus Christ. Okay? It wasn't fully realized until Jesus Christ came. And how do we know that? Well, he paid the penalty for our sin at the cross. Now here's the thing. The word realized is the word agonito, and it means to become. It means came into being or into existence. We could read it this way: grace and truth came into being through Jesus Christ. It was always there, but it was came into being through Jesus Christ. That's why when you go before him, what did I say? You learn, we'll go over to get in the sermon. It's a throne of
grace.
Okay. Throne of grace. If grace only came into being through Jesus Christ, then was there any grace before Jesus Christ? Yes. How? Wrote down here, God knowing his lamb was slain from when? The foundation of the world. So applying the grace that had not yet been validated. So he in the Old Testament, he applied the coming grace to those who were under his grace in the Old Testament. And that grace that exhibited and purchased at the cross extended back in time as much as it extends forward.
Give all of that and save that.
Yeah. And so, and that's what happened at that. Where was everybody that we believe that died in the Old Testament before Christ? Which is also a place called Sheol, which is a place of bliss, we think. And when he died, what did he do? He went there and he brought them up into the presence of the Father. He also went down to the very depths of hell, and we think to those angels that had stepped out of their bounds, were bound in chains, and he just rubbed it in. Right? Remember that? You can't defeat me. And he let that those captives free, and they ushered them into the very presence of God. Okay? And so, and what did they see, by the way, when they saw him? You should know this.
Light.
He's going to look like light. He's going to look like what? The transfiguration. His face, you'll be able to see him, but it's going to shine like what?
The sun.
The sun. His white clothing, the white, be light, white light, the sun, all of that. That is what he will look like. Okay? And so the Apostle John says, through a biblical understanding of grace, that this is not an ordinary man. Jesus is not an ordinary man. And the gospel truth, the gospel message reveals that this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the God-man that we see and experienced and touched and heard. Again, they beheld, or they saw his glory. And they saw through his life, it was one that was full of grace and truth. So Jesus displayed God's glory, and he dispensed God's grace. Okay? And the final proof that he is God, as I said before, is he defines God. I'll look at verses 14 to 18, John chapter 1. We have about maybe 5 more minutes, then we get a rear end of thing, and then you got to stay awake for the sermon.
Yeah.
Verse 18.
14.
I know it's verse 18 we're looking at. No one has seen God at any time. Well, why? For 2 reasons.
Yeah.
One, he is
light.
Invisible.
And he's overwhelming.
And he's, yeah. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. It says, no one has seen God at any time. Why? Well, first of all, he's invisible. Colossians 1:15. What does that say? So I'm going to turn there real quick. Colossians 1:15.
He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation.
And so the Father, it just uses it, just say it's the Father. No one's seen him because he's what? Invisible. But the image of him is in the Son. Okay? Second, we know that if they saw him, they would die. It's Exodus 33:20. Now here's the thing, this is the point you're probably going to take notes on. The only begotten, that's the Greek word mono, I'm thinking monogenes. It's M-O-N-O-G-E-N-E-S, but it has an apostrophe above the last E. Monogenes, I think, is what it is. However, the only begotten, that's monogenes, that's the Son of God, is the only one in the bosom of the Father. Now, what does that mean, bosom? Anybody want to take a guess? Because it's an old word.
Heart?
No, it's actually used in the book of Acts. It's for a bay or an inlet. So big harbor and inlet and a bay and all that, okay? It's also a word for the fold in material. If you took a bunch of material and piled it up, it would have little folds. And that would be the word we would use, okay? So it's also used to mean a very tight, small pocket. That's why it's an inlet or a bay. You have a big ocean and it comes down to a very small point. You've got clothes that you will fold and very tight pockets, creases, things like that. That's the bosom, monogenes. And so what he is saying is the monogenes, the bosom, the son, the only one in the bosom of the father, he is, now here it is, I want you to write this down, tucked intimately to the very presence of God.
Tucked intimately.
You make a bed, you tuck the sheets. It's tight to the mattress, right? Bosom is tightness, it's tucked. He is intimate with God. And only he is the one who has seen him and can be in that bosom, be intimate with him.
Say tucked intimately again, the
into the presence of God. He is folded into God. Is that a better way of understanding
that?
Okay. Now that concept, and again, how would I explain that concept to you? I went to the Bible, and then I had to go outside of the Bible to tell you about just through clothes, but we kept it within the context of this is what this word means, the bosom, folded into God, intimate with God. That's in the context of explaining who God is. And how can you explain who God is? Because he's
tucked.
Which means he is intimate with him. He knows him. He is tight with him.
I am the Father, and the Father and I am.
When you see me,
you see the Father.
And only he can explain him. Okay? This is why you're going to, you know, you leave this church, you go somewhere else. If that pastor is not explaining to you the Word of God and who he is, leave. Just leave. Okay? So Jesus Christ, him and only him, explains God. Here's the word that you're going to also want to write down. The word explained is seen there in verse 18. It's the word exegomai. E-X-E-G-E-O-M-A-I, which we get our word exegete or exegesis. E-X-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. We get the word exegete or exegete. That's what I do. I explain to you the Bible. I explain to you God. That's what I've done here. It's teaching. It's not entertainment preaching. It's just teaching, okay? So Jesus explains the Father. Jesus exegetes God. And why can he do that? And only he can do that.
Because
he's the one that's in the bosom of the Father. He's the only one who really knows him. Okay? He's cornered the market on that. Now, what does it mean? It means to explain. Exegete means to interpret, to give the meaning. So you want to know about God? Jesus defines God. So Jesus displays glory, he dispenses grace, and he defines God. And how can you do that? Because he's tight with him. And he's tied with him because he's always existed with him as light.
So is that why, like in the Old Testament, the Christophanies, where they would see manifestations, and that would be Jesus displaying God, because nobody can see God and live?
He has to be explained to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so these verses absolutely destroy the argument that Jesus was just a nice man or a good teacher or another religious leader or just a prophet. That the text, there's not an option that John leads us to consider. He is God. And if you believe that and you receive him, he gives you the right to become a child of his. So in order to be a child of God, you have to believe in his name. And what's his name?
Jesus.
Mimi said it earlier. What's his name?
I am.
It's the totality of all his attributes, and who he revealed himself to be, as you said. Compassion, understanding, written Exodus, who revealed himself to Moses.
Yep.
Mercy, whom I have mercy. All of that. You believe that. You believe in his name, you must believe that he is who he is. And he is God. If you don't believe that, You're not seeing.
I'm standing.
Yeah. Twenty after. Any questions real quick, because we're done here. Real quick then, what did you learn from today? No right or wrong answer. What did you learn?
That life, there's no life.
Okay. But from the lesson today, not the test.
The monogenies, the folding in, that was very good.
Yeah.
Was,
that's
pretty cool. We're not going to get through this this year, this whole book. You know, the pace we're going on. I'm trying to get us through the books, like, oh my gosh, if I'm going to get into this.
There's a lot here. I think what's neat about the explains and exegesis is like when you're, without proper exegesis, you don't come to the correct understanding of the word. Without Jesus, you don't come to a correct understanding of who God is.
Right. My big point would be, again, how have I taught you? This is how I want you to study. If you don't understand a word, look at it within the context of the Bible. Okay? And you'll be able to tell a good pastor or a good biblical pastor if the illustrations he uses, it should highlight a biblical truth. And it's got to fit and really highlight that point. Other than that, it's entertaining. And that's not what you need. Well, I thank you for this time. Bless us as we worship you today. In Jesus' name. Amen.